Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 5. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. When I got older, I knew. As a little child, believed in what I was told because it made sense. And it still makes sense. There's consequence for sin. Do you know there are murderers and rapists and serial killers who never get brought to the bar of justice? But we know there's ultimate justice just over yonder. You ain't getting away with anything. And we like to point to them and say, well, I'm not that. Yeah, but you got other stuff going on. I like the wording here. And of course, it's not using the word lie in the conventional sense of telling an untruth. But the Bible says that when Jesus saw this man, he saw him where he lay. Well, that's where you are today. And the Lord would have you and me both know that there is a way to be free. And the Bible says that after this, the Lord came and found him in verse 14. And he was in the temple at this point, which was the proper place for him to be. You know, somebody said the first steps of a new Christian are the church steps. We need that. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because we understand that if he was building an ark and we're supposed to be like in the days of Noah, we should be doing some building too. And part of the building we do is getting up and going to church when the doors are open. Now, I don't preach on that too much because, you know, you don't get to heaven by going to church. You don't. You say, preacher, you going to tell me that? Yeah, and I'm going to tell you there's a real hell too. I'm going to tell you both. Because I am going to leave it with the Holy Spirit to lead you and me. Because His job is to bring about the salvation issue in your heart. You either love Him or you don't. You either want Him or you don't. And you may think, I'm going to play God. He gave me magical words. I'll pray a prayer and I won't mean it. But I'll pray the prayer because you said, if I prayed, I'll be saved. Yeah, I can say that. And you can do that. And you can play that loose and fast. But there's some consequence to that. And God does not pander to man like we see churches pandering today to people. Cafes and bands and entertainment. Why? Because we want them to come. Do you know what? I'd rather you not come and know you were not saved than come and feel like you were saved and be lost. There's a lot of people in the church that are going to go to hell because they think they're saved because they go to church. And that's not the requirement. What did Jesus say to this man when he found him in the temple in verse 4? It said, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more. That's the worst thing come upon you. What? Sin no more. See, take up your bed and walk. You see, the only thing this man could do was roll over to some place to maybe get a bath. Or whatever, but he roll right back into the bed. That's what a lot of people live in. They live in this little bed that they've made. This is my life. It's miserable. I got no purchase. I got no upright standing. I got no testimony. But I do have my sin, and it comforts me. Boy, this pillow's great. And all I can think is, boy, I wish I had a new pillow. I wish I had some new sheets. Maybe a little new stuffing in this mattress. And they're just propping up their bed. But they're not doing a lick of good. Have you ever heard somebody say this? What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? You know? Can I ask you? What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Because God would have us walk. Because nature abhors a vacuum. If I think that I'm going to just hold my breath and hold on till Jesus comes, I've got news for you. You're going to suffocate. A worse thing will come upon you. A person who gets into the family of God and never moves forward, thorns come and choke, withers. Persecution comes and they are scorched. Do you know that if you put a brand new 18-year-old kid out in the front of the line of fire in a war without a gun, without any understanding of which direction to walk, run, or what their job is, if you give them that, they're going to get hurt. If not, get dead. I've known people who I believed was saved, and they died early deaths. because they decided that they would live contrary to what they knew in their hearts. Beloved, you and I, who are saved, are not safe. It's a warfare, and the devil will do anything he can to remove you from the assembly where you can be reminded he loves you with an everlasting love. His mercies are new every morning. There is no sin that hath taken you, but such is his common to man. But he will, with the temptation, provide you in a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. That if you will confess your sins, he'll forgive you and he'll cleanse you. And he's faithful to do it every time. And he's just to do it because he shed his blood for your sins so you wouldn't have to. Glory! That's who he is. That's what you need to be reminded of. Don't give up. Don't lay down. Don't prop up the bed. Get up and walk. And the Bible says, lest a worse thing come upon you. There are many Christians who are pining and who've been caught up in the wrong. And they're not overtly going against God. They might have got caught up in error. And because they got caught up in error, they're just spinning their wheels with no real direction or purpose. Do you know what the Bible says? As my Father sent me, so send I you. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save what's lost. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The devil would rather you just say, you know what, I'm going to go dance around at church, or I'm going to go and I'm going to fall around in a frenzy or bark like a dog like the Browntown Revival did down in Florida. Holy laughter. You say, what is that all about? The devil doesn't care how he gets you away from the game. He'd like to make you look foolish and nonsensical. But you know, there's nothing more wonderful and more delightful than seeing a man standing by his wife after 35 years with a glimmer in his eye saying, this is the best thing I've ever known on this earth and I so love my wife. Because that is right. It is righteous. It is good. And the world notices that and says that is really the way it should have been. That's why you cry when you watch a movie that's romantic. Everything works out all right. What I'm telling you, for the believer, bless God, it turns out all right. Turns out all right. And that's why my wife can stand by me and I can stand by her, even though we are sinners. Brought together in holy matrimony, we live a life of mutual forgiveness because God forgave us. Beloved, we know right when we see it. And we know wrong when we see it too. You know, you're driving down the road, something starts banging under the hood. This ain't right. Is something banging under your hood? Would you be made whole? Would you be made whole? There's not an app for that. There's a Savior for that. The Bible says that after he told him, go and sin no more, lest you fall into some worse condition, the man departed. And look at this in verse 15. He went and told the Jews that it was Jesus. He says, I ain't ashamed. I don't care what they do to me. Do you know in some countries you trust Jesus, they're going to kill you. That's not exaggeration. Literally, you get dead. He went right back to the hornet's nest and he said it was Jesus. And he was not ashamed. I'm reminded of Andrew who went and got his brother Peter. He says, we found the Lord. Beloved, have you told somebody about Jesus? Do you know how to tell somebody about Jesus? Have you reached with all that in you is? Have you labored in prayer asking God to save them? May I say to you, walk. Follow him. Fishers of men. Seeking to save that which is lost. It's the only reason you're down here. We are not down here to build our fortune or our retirement. We're not down here to get our pension in order. We're not down here to just have children and raise them for the destruction. You know, if we live the Christian lives, our kids will catch that. You know what happens? Your kids come into your life and they see you. They hit their teens, they start knowing you're a sinner too. I mean, you might have played a good game when they were young. But they learn you're a sinner too. But they know whether you really believe in Jesus or not. They know that. And that's all you can hope for. You can't save your kids. But you can show them what it looks like to be saved. The Bible said this man went and told right away. First thing he did was, well, I think it would be a sin not to tell them the truth. They're the leaders. I need to tell them. And the Bible says in verse 16, they began to persecute Jesus. And in verse 18, they plotted to kill him. You see that? That's pretty serious stuff. And look why they wanted to kill him, verse 18, because he was making himself equal with God. Do you know who Jesus is? He is the God-man. We say it when we baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Name, not names. We know it. We've heard it said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? He's the God-man. The Bible says his name shall be called Emmanuel. We never called him Emmanuel deliberately. We know him as Emmanuel because he was, in fact, God with us. That's what it means. And I'm telling you today, he is God with us. That's who he was. That's why it was so significant that he died. If an angel had died for the sins of humanity, he could have never blotted out all the sins of humanity. But when God did it, it took care of everything. The Bible says that Jesus died not for our sins only, but for the whole world also. Isn't that good to know? That means everybody you see in the day-to-day, I'm talking about the grocer, I'm talking about the person you buy your gas from, the guy at the Lowe's or the Home Depot, where you go, those people too, he died for them. And your job and mine is to be a moon to God's Son and let them see Jesus in us. Isn't that what it is? We're not here for just ourselves. You know what the Bible says? It says godliness has promise of this life and that which is to come. Which means we get to have some good stuff down here. Promise of this life. You do it right, you're going to have. The cresting of the hill is in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter 12. It says, who is this that cometh over the mountain, leaning on her beloved? Why? Because after many years and many miles and after many experiences, they're still holding on to each other. Because they know that it's they two against the world. Literally. Because the world is arrayed against you. Well, he said they were going to kill him because he made himself equal with God. Verse 19 says, then answered Jesus and said, verily, verily. And now here's a series of verilys. Going to move us toward this whole resurrection theme. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. You know what? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Looking for what the Father's doing and joining him. He says, for what things soever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. You and I are supposed to be discerning enough to look at our world and see people as God sees them. Some people are brand new. When I was talking to Becky this morning, she said the young man that they talked to wasn't quite there yet. But Patrick was the first step. And the guy was willing to talk to them second step. And you know, there's a time where you just cultivate the soil. You just do a little something here and there. You try to prop it up. Make sure it's not got any weeds choking it out. Do what you can. But you remember this. It is God that gives the increase. So we pray and we believe and we hope. And we pray and we believe and we hope. And we look for God to bring other people into their lives. Patrick was the first evangelist. Mark and Becky were the second. And who knows what God has right around the corner. It might be an aunt who's been praying for that boy from the time he was knee-high to an aunt, as some have said. The Bible says, he says, I'm just doing what the Father says. He says, I saw what God was doing in the pool of Bethesda. I saw what he was doing in the house of mercy. I saw what that man was about. And that man was the real deal article. The moment he got saved, he was doing what he was told to do. Do you know obedience means just simply listening to Jesus? That's just all it means. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It means it's what you were made for. In our day, we don't know what we're made for. You know, they're taking the genders off of some of the birth certificates in our day. And people are choosing names that go either way because they don't want to make a decision for their child before their child decides what they're going to be. Used to, they just take a peek and say, oh, it's a boy. Okay, that's what they do. Not no more. Is your world out of control? Are your kids safe? Do you like the fact that the teachers are going to take your kids and tell them there is no right and wrong? Well, I got a question, teacher. Is what you said right or wrong? You can't answer that because you don't got one.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.